The morning air at Fort Hood was thick with the humidity of a central Texas spring. Yet the atmosphere within the Regimental Engineer Squadron headquarters was strangely quiet. I walked through the corridors of the 3rd Cavalry Regiment, a place built on the rigid foundations of discipline and accountability. But on that day, the silence felt like a failure. In the arms room where the equipment was meticulously logged, I found a set of keys, a military identification card, and a wallet sitting untouched on a workbench. There were no signs of a struggle in the small, cramped space, only the sterile scent of gun oil and the low hum of the ventilation system. The soldier assigned to this post was known for her punctuality and her dedication to the uniform, which made her sudden absence from her duty station a glaring anomaly. I looked at the logbook where the last entry was recorded in a steady hand, a mundane detail that stood in stark contrast to the growing sense of dread settling over the unit. Outside, the sprawling military installation continued its operations with mechanical precision. But inside this room, time seemed to have stopped at exactly 1 in the afternoon. The discovery of her personal effects, left behind in a secure area she would never voluntarily abandon, was the first indication that we were not looking for a deserter, but for a victim whose name was Vanessa Guillen. The investigation moved with a desperate urgency as we began to reconstruct the final hours of April 22nd. I spent the first 48 hours interviewing every soldier who had been in the vicinity of the arms room, searching for a single witness who had seen her leave the building. One specialist, a combat engineer named Aaron Robinson, claimed he had only seen her briefly to confirm serial numbers on equipment before she departed for another location. His demeanor during the initial interview was composed, but as I reviewed the security gate logs and cellular data, a different picture began to emerge. We discovered that Robinson had left the post that evening and did not return until the early hours of the following morning, a gap in his timeline that he could not adequately explain. My team and I tracked his movements through a series of pings from local cell towers, which led us toward the Leon River, a remote area miles away from the base. We conducted over 300 interviews and dedicated 10,000 hours to the search, scouring the dense brush and riverbanks for any sign of a shallow grave. The leadership at the base initially labeled the disappearance as a routine matter, but I knew the fact that her car remained in the parking lot pointed toward a far more sinister outcome. We began to focus our attention on Robinson's associates, specifically a civilian woman named Cecily Aguilar, who had been in constant contact with him during the period she was missing. The evidence that finally broke the case was not found on the military installation, but buried in the silt and concrete along the banks of the Leon River. On June 30th, contractors working in the area reported a foul odor, leading us to a sophisticated burial site that had been meticulously concealed. I stood on the riverbank as forensic teams uncovered partial remains that had been dismembered and encased in a concrete-like substance, a level of brutality that suggested a calculated effort to erase the victim entirely. The digital evidence recovered from the suspect's phones provided the chilling narrative of what had happened inside the arms room. We found records of a controlled phone call where Robinson admitted that the situation had spiraled out of control after a confrontation involving a photograph on his phone. The forensic analysis of the arms room itself, despite a thorough cleaning, revealed traces of biological material that matched the victim's profile. Robinson had used a heavy tool from the armory to commit the act, then transported the body in a large shipping container to the riverside where he met Aguilar. The two spent hours attempting to destroy the evidence, using fire and chemicals, before eventually resorting to the concrete burial. When law enforcement moved to apprehend Robinson in the nearby city of Killeen, he took his own life before he could be brought into custody, leaving his accomplice as the only living witness to the final moments of the crime. The legal resolution of the case fell upon the shoulders of the federal court system, where Cecily Aguilar faced the consequences of her role in the cover-up. I attended the proceedings where the graphic details of the dismemberment and the subsequent lies told to investigators were laid bare for the jury. In November of 2022, Aguilar pleaded guilty to 1 count of accessory to murder after the fact, and 3 counts of making false statements to federal agents. During the sentencing hearing in August of 2023, the court heard testimony regarding the immense trauma inflicted upon the family and the systemic failures that allowed the harassment to go unchecked. The judge handed down a sentence of 30 years in prison, the maximum penalty allowed under federal law, citing the indefensible nature of her actions and the cold-blooded assistance she provided to the killer. Beyond the courtroom, the investigation triggered a massive internal review of the culture at Fort Hood, resulting in the discipline of 21 high-ranking officers and a complete overhaul of how the military handles reports of misconduct. The passage of the I Am Vanessa Guillen Act shifted the authority to investigate such cases away from the immediate chain of command to independent panels, ensuring that future victims would not have to fear the same retaliation that kept this soldier silent. My final report was filed as the base was renamed Fort Cavazos, a symbolic gesture meant to distance the institution from the tragedies of the past. The case file remains a permanent record of a life lost to a broken system and the exhaustive effort required to bring a small measure of justice to her name.